cord.
That was hilarious.
I don't have an opener either.
I don't have an opener either. What about you guys?
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches. You guys are going to be mine.
Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, presented by Stars and Street Lamps, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a five-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking the Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. My name's Imagine.
One take drink.
Yeah. My name's Imagine. And joining me as always, the main man, Motion.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing well, brother. How are
you? This is kind of funny because we're recording with our indoor voices.
We are. We're using our indoor voices.
I'm the proud father of a fucking toddler who runs the household, and he's passed out right now.
Yeah, dude. Shh, don't wake the beast.
Yeah. So, you ever seen SNL where that skit where it was like the two like church ladies
radio? Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, these are
his sweaty balls.
These are great balls.
Yeah, the balls.
That's who I feel like we are right now.
That was with that guy who killed the girl, right?
What?
The guy the guy who shot the girl on set.
Oh, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah,
he did a couple of those.
Alec Kill 'em All Baldwin.
That's gonna stick.
Kill 'em all. Hey, what if he just leans into it, dude? Just starts shooting other people. There's no way it was like, I mean, the type of gun that he used that went off, you have to pull, first of all, you have to pull the hammer back. It's like an old six shooter.
Yeah.
And then that trigger has like pounds of resistance.
And that's it's totally not on our agenda today, but since we're talking about it. He did the interview, it was like 60 minutes or some shit, and he was like, I didn't pull the trigger. When I was like, oh, you're fucked, dude.
Yeah, dude. You know what's so funny?
You gave that interview before the court date even started.
Or even talking to a gun expert. what if he's the one who shot Kennedy?
Hey, man, at this point, he would just be like, hey,
I mean,
the gun
right?
went off.
Dude,
I just was happy to be standing in the grassy knoll.
Can I try one of your perfect segues?
Yeah.
All right, dude. Let me take a shot at this. So, Alec Baldwin, we were talking about Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Speaking of Saturday Night Live, can we talk about that backstabbing bitch, Skeet Davidson?
Pete Davidson?
Yeah, Pete Davidson. What's Kanye keep calling him Skeet?
Oh, because that's what he's doing right now. Can you blame him?
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm totally Team Pete. I just think it's dangerous to fuck with comics. Like, and Pete's a good one.
Yeah.
Like, he's writing all this down.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to have an hour special on Netflix just about Yeezy.
That's true.
I posted yesterday, Kanye had posted the picture of Pete wearing the Make Kanye 2006 again.
Oh, yeah.
And Kanye said, you got any more mental health jokes about me? And I replied to it. I think he's been writing, R-I-D-I-N-G. Not writing, W-R-I-T-I-N-G lately, bro.
It's funny that, you know, people always give Pete Davidson like, oh, man, he's so fucking ugly.
But he's
how is he like? Yeah, it really comes down to two things that I learned. I should have learned, you know, probably like in grade school, but I didn't. It took me until like damn near after college.
I learned very young.
I did not.
Wait, what is your thing?
The secret is, gentlemen, if you're looking to bag a 10 and you're like a solid two
and half. Okay.
All you got to do is have two things.
Yeah.
A sense of humor.
That's mine.
And confidence.
Oh, the confidence part?
Yeah. Not arrogance.
Yeah.
Not cockiness.
Yeah.
Just straight confidence.
Well, I always say if you.
And I think Pete Davidson has both of those. And, you know, he also has, you know, a large bank account and probably a large dong.
Giant dode. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what Selena Gomez had, like, penned the big dick energy based around him.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, that is good for him, I guess. Yeah, the sense of humor. Oh, the confidence thing. So I always tell my kids that if you're not on your team, then you can't expect no one else to be on your team.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean run around like Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But somewhere in there, is
somewhere in that sweet spot. Yeah,
somewhere between Connor and I don't know, fucking Baby Huey. Is
Pete Davidson.
Exactly.
You need some Pete Davidson energy.
Yeah. And I was, a friend was like, we were talking about it. It was funny. And we do this Pete Davidson impersonations. And we were talking about how he probably bought the kids Oculuses so they don't have to watch him turn their mom out, you know? Mm. And then like noise canceling him. He's like, don't worry, Kanye. I got your kids Oculuses.
So. And you got to think about, you know, who he, who he's been with. Oh, so Pete Davidson. He was with Carly Aquino.
Don't know who that is, but she sounds hot.
Yeah, good for him. And let's see.
Damn it. Pete Davidson's just Carpe de Poon, bro.
Aquino. I don't know. Anyways.
Selena Gomez.
Cassie
right?
David, whoever okay. that is. I think this is in the early years.
Are you starting with his yearbook?
He was engaged to Ariana Grande.
Okay.
Yep, yep.
Oh, that's the one I meant. Keep saying Selena Gomez, but it's that
Ariana
one.
Grande. Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah, so that one was like weird to me. I was like,
isn't
wow.
Isn't it crazy she's named after a size at Starbucks?
I mean, if you were going to name yourself over a size at Starbucks, you'd think you would have gone like venti.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, or tall, but because she's not. But anyways, Kate Beckinsale?
Yep, that was.
Yeah, that was interesting. That's when I was like, huh.
Yeah, what's going on here?
What's happening? What's the trend? And then we're now at like Kim Kardashian and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
wild. And so... Here's the thing, dude. This is why...
Hide your wives. Hide your sisters. If you recently...
They come out here to rape everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not that it's Pete Davidson. It's that it's Pete Davidson. So in Kanye's eyes, dude, he's this ultimate artist, right? He thinks he's like God reincarnate.
Right.
And now his wife is fucking around with... Like, think of Pete Davidson. I love him. I think he's hilarious.
Sure.
But like... He's always talking about, like, look at this dickhead. Did you see that post? And look at the way he's like, he kind of has a point, dude.
Yeah.
He used to, like, fashion Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
And make sure, like, and you know how important that is to Ye.
Yeah.
And now she's with, like, this dude with flip-flops and a fucking Bugs Bunny shirt that still lives at his mom's. Yeah. You know? It's like, that's hilarious, dude.
Yeah. Good for him, man.
I wonder how I could get Kim Kardashian to Staten Island.
Good for Pete Davidson, but most importantly, good for the Los Angeles Rams.
You're going to do it.
Yeah. I'm so happy for the Rams. Not so much for the Rams. I don't really give a fuck about football, but my grandfather,
okay.
I found out during the Super Bowl that he actually proposed to my grandmother in the Coliseum parking lot at a Rams game.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I was like, oh. I'm invested. Go Rams.
It was good. Did you watch it?
I watched like the last quarter and
did you
a
watch
half.
The halftime show?
I had to YouTube it.
Would you enjoy it?
I thought it was great.
I thought so too.
I thought it was a fun show. And I think what's funny about the halftime show is the struggle that's been going on between who's claiming the halftime show. Because usually it's like, oh, this halftime show was geared towards a particular market.
Oh, okay.
Like when The Who... was the halftime performers like, oh, okay, I don't know who they're shooting for here.
Yeah, all white folks.
Fucking J-Lo and Shakira, we know who they're shooting for here. Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, okay, we know who they're shooting for. And
don't say shooting for this time.
Dr. Dre. Uh-huh. Dr. Dre, Snoop, Eminem, surprisingly 50 Cent, Mary J. Blige.
Yeah.
Kendrick, all fantastic artists.
Yes.
And you have Gen X, who... came to blossom in the early 90s when Dr. Dre first came out with The Chronic and Snoop Dogg with Doggy Style and Mary J. Blige was just jumping on the scene. So the early 90s, that's Gen X. Like, yeah, these are our artists. But then you had the millennials, those of us in our age, when like Still DRE comes on, you're like, oh, yeah. Shit. And they're like, oh, yeah, this halftime show's for us. And then the Gen X is always like, nah, fuck the millennials. That show's for us.
Well, if I'm telling the truth. I kind of think the Justin Timberlake one was for us, too. I was really into NSYNC.
I was really into Janet Jackson's boob.
Oh, yeah.
That was a win.
Was that... Did he perform again since then?
Nah, I think he was like, I'm good here.
That's not the one I was thinking about. Didn't he cover for Prince when they played in Minnesota? I think Prince had died and they did this whole tribute. And I think he came out in that.
Oh, that's right.
That's the one I was thinking about.
Talking about like,
I totally forgot.
Never
mind. I'm talking about the first one. I'm talking about the one where he showed her tits.
Okay, yeah.
That one was definitely for us, too.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I know that one was for me.
Bing bong. You know what
I mean? But it's funny how like the Gen X was like, oh, the Snoop Dre, it's all for us. But if you look at the hits that were played, Those were all late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were all...
That was like our high school.
That was our high school. That was so... Yeah.
And you know, I had this whole conspiracy theory. Did I talk about this last week with
maybe
with Snoop buying Death Row?
No.
I thought... Okay, so Snoop bought Death Row.
Right.
And he bought it a week before the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I thought there was some sort of timing there where they were going to be playing Death Row music now that they own the rights.
Sure.
Because before they never could. Drake could never do anything from The Chronic.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, maybe they're going to do nothing but a G. It'd be dope if Drake comes out and it's just like, biatch, you know?
Yeah.
But none of that happened. And then when they showed 50, I was like, oh my God, are they going to show the game? Because like then I thought they were doing lineage. Appropriate. The game would be way more appropriate.
Way more appropriate for Los Angeles.
Yep.
I mean, granted, he didn't have as much star power as 50 did. Everyone was yelling G-Unit back in 2002.
Yeah, remember that Chappelle skit when the kid's like, G-Unit? And Chappelle's like, get your ass in the car, motherfucker.
I do not. So I enjoyed the halftime show. I thought it was cool. Shout out LA for winning.
Yeah.
Shout out the photographer who fell off the stage.
Yep.
Yeah, good for her.
Yep, she shouted out. Imagine she did like goofy. She's like, yeah. You're going to do it.
I was like, which of these sound effects would have been like... Oh, man.
I saw you itch.
Yeah, I was like, I got to be quick, but I got to be looking at the things, but I'm like, I don't got
to
do that.
Do you want me to take responsibility for the drops? That way, if you drop one inappropriate, we could just blame it on me?
Probably.
Okay, dude.
At that point, you know.
For now on, here. Listen.
Yeah. She fell off stage.
I was giving me the soundboard.
Oh, that's take too long.
No, I know. That was just the sound. It was just the trick to trick the audience into thinking, now I now have the soundboard. Keep up with me, Mousy. I'm trying to do business with you, dude.
Fucking up. So this lady, she's a professional photographer for the Rams, and she's taking photos.
Yeah.
She falls off the stage.
And it was a big stage.
Was it?
It was like 6 feet or more.
They could afford that much?
Well, they just won the Super Bowl.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know.
Cool.
Do the Rams make money? I know they do a lot in ticket sales for other teams.
Exactly. So yeah, so she fell off the stage.
Yeah.
And shout out
Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford for being an absolute asshole.
I don't know about that, dude.
Does he get a pass for being drunk?
No, okay. He gets a couple passes.
Okay, tell me.
But being drunk is one of them.
Okay.
One, okay, so you know, like, no good deed.
Yeah.
And I think the wealthier you get, the more you kind of think of that.
Yeah.
And you probably mind your business a little more than when you like didn't have shit to lose.
Sure.
So he sees this bitch fall. He's like, oh shit. And then, yeah, one, he was drinking. Two, he was celebrating the Super Bowl. He played for Detroit for like 60 terrible years.
Yeah.
Obviously not. I think it was like 10 or 11 or so.
Still too long.
Way too long to be with the terrible team. It's his day. He won the Super Bowl. They're celebrating in LA. It looked like it was just them and then maybe a couple of the Lakers. I didn't see any fans there. Did you see it? That's how you know it was a shitty Super Bowl parade. No one caught her.
She stage dived and just hit the floor.
If that was like, I don't know, if that was the win at the Bengals in Cincinnati, there would have been a million people out there and someone would have caught that bitch.
Yeah.
But so I definitely don't think, you know, I don't know. I guess he gets, I don't know. What was he going to do to the stage? It wasn't like a little stage, dude. Was he going to have to jump off and like, I don't know.
Human decency is like you see someone injure themselves. First, you laugh. Then two.
He kind of did. He was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
the shitty thing is he thought she was the only one with the camera.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they caught that on film? Yeah, bitch. It was a Super Bowl parade. There was a lot of cameras.
A lot of cameras. Yes, they were all looking. And they were looking at you, of course, the entire time. But, I mean, human decency. I feel like someone falls, hurts himself.
Yeah.
Naturally, you're just like, oh shit, are you okay? Like, you all right? Are you okay down there? Yeah. Did someone catch you?
I think she did like Will Ferrell and Austin Powers, like, someone please send me some antiseptic. Can you throw down some bandage? Remember in all the Austin Powers movies?
Yes. I just feel like Matthew Stafford should have been.
Yeah, he probably should have been.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, he's celebrating the Super Bowl, he's having a grand old time, he's drinking. Not an excuse for still being not a good human.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your day.
Yeah, but, I was thinking more along the lines of like liability, like, oh, fuck, I'm not getting near that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But his chick did.
How and shitty,
I assume they have shared assets.
How shitty is it, though, that people have to think about liability? That's the country
we live in, dude.
That's awful.
Yeah, man. It all started with that cup of coffee in McDonald's. That was the turning point. Can I ask you a quick question?
Maybe hot. Yes.
Did you like late night TV?
What?
Yeah, like Leno and Letterman and all that growing up. Did you get to watch that?
I started to watch Leno probably like in high school.
Oh, high school.
I was like, this is kind of cool.
I watched him like all through elementary school.
I really enjoyed the monologue.
His?
Just monologues.
Yeah.
As long as they're good.
Letterman's too, or were you? What I was getting at is who was your late night king?
Oh, Leno.
Leno, me too.
Letterman was kind of weird.
Yeah. So,
he,
you know,
it later. You tried too hard.
Later in life, I appreciated Letterman more. And it's because I found out the show was kind of a prank. It wasn't like, oh, like Craig Ferguson. Did you ever watch his?
Yeah.
I love his.
Yeah.
And you know how his is like, it's a joke. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Letterman cared, but it was what Letterman described it as. And I went back and watched it years later. Like he described it as, so the audience was in on the joke. I, being Letterman, was in on the joke. Paul and the band were in on the joke. And the joke was the guest. So whoever was sitting in that chair, Letterman was trying to find a way to fuck with them the whole time. And that was like the show. That's why he always had weird exchanges. Like, that's why there was always a weird like tension to it. That was his MO. Like, we're here to make fun of these motherfuckers and you guys are all going to help me do it.
Interesting.
So if you go back and you watch it with that in mind, you can see it and you're just like, oh, I get it. And Letterman, I think, was wittier than Leno, but Leno was the better comic.
Yes, and I'll go with that.
Now there's all kinds of, like, Leno's starting to do a lot of different podcasts and stuff with other people, and he's talking about, like, his work ethic and how they did that. That dude lived in that studio during the week and then still went on tour on the weekend and still did live comedy, you know, everywhere else. Yeah. Still does live comedy to this day at the HaHa in Burbank every Sunday night. Yep, he's there.
He drops by?
Yeah.
Cool. Comes out one of those cool cars?
Yeah, probably. I'm sure. I doubt he fucking takes an Uber. In his all denim suit. He's a Mario fan.
I don't think I would. I mean, not now that I know what the joke was with Letterman, I don't think I would enjoy that.
I don't know. You gotta
I don't
see
like
it.
Intentional fuckery.
Well, like, that's
I'm
why like
fuck with you. You know who does that? And I think it's right everyone's here, in on it. That's true.
Eric Andre.
Galifianakis between two friends.
Oh yeah.
Like I enjoy that because the guest knows
it's obvious.
Yeah,
it's the guest knows
he's
sarcastic.
Gonna fuck with you. But the guest doesn't know how much he's going to fuck with you. And that's why sometimes they break and it's hilarious. I think that's funny.
Yeah. I go
but
back.
But just trying to intentionally make things awkward. I'm not sure I enjoy that.
I love watching. Do you have a certain guest that you remember enjoying or would look forward to watching on a late night show? Like, oh, this guest is going to be, I got to watch that.
Right now. I love when Jon Stewart drops by Colbert.
Yeah. Is he still doing it after that last one with the COVID thing?
Yeah, every once in a while, Jon Stewart drops by. And I think it's just a very organic exchange.
Yeah, well, they've known each other 20 years.
Exactly. And they have that natural opportunity just to capitalize on what they enjoy when they discuss stuff with each other. And it's such an honest exchange between the two that it's enjoyable to watch. They have that natural chemistry between the two of them. But like other people, not really. Maybe like the animal handlers, like Jack Hanna.
Oh, yeah. I remember he was so great. And he was on Letterman all the time.
Yeah. He would bring like, you know, weird ass fucking animals.
He's like, now this next one can kill you.
Oh, yeah. Especially, what was his name? Australian guy. Crocodile.
Hunter.
Yeah.
Crocodile guy. Hunter.
Crikey. Steve Irwin.
Yeah, I've lost my mojo.
Yeah. Steve Irwin. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed all
his
that.
His kids are out doing the same shit he was doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the kid almost died. You heard about that?
No, the kid almost died.
Yeah, the kid almost died.
No, tell me that.
I don't know the details off the top of my head. I remember reading the headline that the boy, the younger son, almost.
Jesus, dude, they're falling the footsteps into a little trouble of the there. Lees, dude. Bruce and Brandon Lee, man.
Okay, so we both each brought a topic, not Super Bowl.
Oh,
not,
I did mine
not
already.
Late night, was it?
Skeet Davidson.
Skeet Davidson.
That was my topic.
That was your topic.
That was my topic.
Okay, cool.
How much time are we in?
20.
Oh, we're fucked. Let's do 40 minutes on your topic.
I don't know if we could do it, but it
I could do it. Hey, how does my hair look?
Interesting. We're wearing a hat. Looking great.
Thanks.
It's never looked better. Keep the hat on.
Roast.
Okay. I'm not sure if you heard of this, but I heard about it just the other day and still kind of new, fresh off the press. Disney.
Okay.
Is developing planned communities for fans who never want to leave. How do you feel about that? Just
like,
headline.
Never want to leave? Like you're going to live in a Disney environment?
Disney is planning communities.
All right.
How does this make you feel? Right out the gate.
Objectively, dude, I think this is awesome. You're fucking kidding me?
Okay.
Okay, so here, all right. Let's think about so they're going to have a hell of an
HOA. Before I tell you what it is, what do you envision it to be?
I envision so cookie cutter house is like a tract. It's going to be uniquely designed. It's probably going to be kid friendly, so like parks and things like that.
Okay.
I envision it's going to be kind of bright. Okay. A lot of like positive energy.
Okay.
And probably no black people. I don't think they're going to allow black people.
The fucked up shit is you're probably right. Oh my gosh. Okay. So the place is called Cotino. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly, but Cotino.
Sounds like
Cotino.
Yeah. Okay.
It's them trying to, you know, be fancy and shit.
Shoot the deets. They're basically just getting in the world of real estate.
It's not their first foray into real estate, which is kind of weird. But okay, so I'll give you what it is. I'll give you some backstory. So it's called Story Living by Disney. It's going to operate as part of the company's theme park division, and it's developing a series of master planned communities for residential living designed by Disney's creative staff and offering the same pampered tranquility found in its resorts. So if you could, picture an energetic community with the warmth and charm of a small town and the beauty of a resort.
It's the Truman Show.
You're probably not wrong. Only one location has been announced so far, and that's Cotino, and it's going to be in the city of Rancho Mirage in Coachella Valley.
Oh, right.
Yeah, down the street from here. It's probably like fucking half hour from here.
Yeah, not cray, far. Cray. Yeah. Well, you know what they're going to do? They're going to kill that dinosaur exhibit that you and your kid like put it right up out there somewhere.
I dislike that.
For some reason, I thought Rancho Mirage was Orange County.
So the concept art shows villas, condos, housing complexes, all around a 24-acre grand oasis. Okay. So it's going to include amenities such as shopping, dining, entertainment, a beachfront hotel.
What?
And clubhouse.
They're building a beach in the desert?
Disney programming, entertainment activities throughout the year. Of course they're building a fucking beach.
So
why not? Because it's fucking Disney.
That's it's going to be for rentals or do you purchase?
Both.
So you're going to, okay.
So you
when you purchase that house, they're going to make you pay a crazy HOA.
Yeah, so members of the public will be able to visit by purchasing day passes.
Oh, that's terrible if you live there.
Exactly. While a section of the development will be set aside for residents aged 55 and up.
That's going to be, can I say this now?
Yes.
You move in there 55 and up, you're a pedophile. I already know what you're doing there.
Interesting.
And you're not there to be good.
Interesting.
Yeah, because 55 and up, dude, what do you, all right, let's say 55 right now. If we go 55 years, what was it? Maybe the Aristocats?
Sure. Yeah.
70s, mid-60s, right? Something like that. It'd be like, Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah, mid-60s.
Yeah. Okay. So that doesn't exist anymore, bro.
Yeah.
If you're 55 and up, you're looking for people who like Moana. I can't remember the name.
Alani?
No. Well, the movie Moana.
The movie Moana. I'm thinking about Alani the Resort in Hawaii. Yeah.
What I'm getting at is you're going for little kids.
Sure. Okay. That's definitely one approach. So it's not the first time that Disney has stepped into residential development. So famously in 1996, they opened this place called Celebration in Florida.
Okay.
And it was a master plan community near Walt Disney World.
Okay.
But the problem was that it was Disney designed, but it's not Disney operated.
Oh.
So it just fell into complete disrepair and no one talks about Celebration. No one's celebrating Celebration
really
anymore. Yeah, so they did that in the 90s. Low. In 2011, they opened up a luxury resort called Golden Oak, also in Florida, where prices originally started out at $1.6 million each.
That's affordable.
Sure, for Florida, I guess. For 55 and up, and nothing else to do, I guess.
I don't know, man. Floridians, not all of them got money, bro.
But it all stems from Walt Disney. So Walt Disney himself, he actually developed an idea for a utopian city of the future called Epcot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the theme park?
Yeah.
It was actually designed as an experimental prototype community of tomorrow. It was actually really, really ambitious. It was kind of fucking cool. So he did like a cartoon animated special on what Epcot was and what it would look like.
That's the one where it starts with the ball behind him?
No.
Oh, it was completely animated.
Yeah, completely animated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was very out there. It was very ambitious to develop a community of tomorrow. It was completely unlike anything.
Well, he was super into that, right? With like the Tomorrowlands and stuff like that. He really believed it wasn't just a part of the park. It was like something he was kind of gunning for, right?
Yeah.
I know you know way more about him than I do, but.
But it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, so it's not the first time Disney thinks about doing residential living, but here's the caveat is that they are actually, thank you. I'm part French. Story Living, that's what they're calling it. So they're trying to evolve this whole live in escapism.
Yes, I see that. I see what you mean. It's not just architecture. It's going to be a whole experience being there.
Yeah, the employees will have to be in on it. It's like you literally live at the theme park where the theme park employees are notorious for being like super happy and upbeat and blah, blah, blah.
They are. And then you're going to wear your birthday pin and everybody's going to wish you a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Right? That's a rule there, isn't that? Yeah.
Supposed to be.
It is.
So they're trying to take that type of immersiveness and energy and put it into an HOA.
Yeah. I mean, more power to them. It must be really expensive to maintain, which means it's going to be expensive to be a part of.
Which is why they're charging day passes.
Yeah. So
would you visit for a day? Would you live there?
I don't know. What's your level of involvement?
I
would definitely fly over if I was on a commercial flight and it was required that I go that direction.
Just look out the window. Oh, that's cool.
Like, look at that fucking weird place. I don't know. You know, I would be stoked if you moved in there and I got to come just hang out with you to do the pod once a week.
Isn't that how it usually goes? Like, I don't know, but how about you go? Yeah. And then maybe I'll visit.
And it's like they say like the best thing about having a boat is having a friend who has a boat. Because boats are like the worst fucking thing. So why don't you buy this boat? And I'll pay rent here.
Okay, I'll hold this down. Let me know how it goes at fucking makeshift Disney.
And then if it does suck at makeshift Disney, well, you just come here to do the pod like the old days.
Yeah.
No. That's neat, man. I don't know. It's cool. I like the thinking outside the box. We're like in this weird space in this generation where we're like minimalist and maximalist at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's a group of people that are doing that. And there's a group of people that are living on train fucking carts.
Right. I don't know if you know this, but Disney.
I probably do. Don't doubt me.
Disney guests, Disney park goers.
Okay.
Are some of them. I mean, let me just start off by saying some.
I don't like that. It's for the rule of comedy. It's all of them.
Okay.
So all Disney visitors.
All Disney park goers are some of the worst human beings on the face of the earth.
Never mind. Let's go back to some.
Okay.
And I did know that.
Some of them are god awful. Some of them are really terrible people. The like diehard Disney fans.
Oh, you mean the actual fans too? Yeah, for some reason it came in my head someone that was like pissed off about how much they spent to be there, so they were just shitty the whole experience through.
Oh no, that's different. That's different. Okay. No, I'm talking about like the people.
The people with all the buttons.
Yeah, with the lanyards.
Oh, and the bike vests, like they're in a motorcycle gang. But it's
some
like,
of them, not all of them, but okay. Some of them. I'm talking about the people that are wearing like the tiki shirts and. Okay. Driving the little scooters because they believe laziness is a disease and it's not. But, you know, there's a particular type of park goer and they're terrible people. They're just so entitled. They're so enabled by the theme park experience that Disney provides. And that's what kind of blew me away
about this thing. Okay. Don't say where you worked.
Yeah.
Okay, but your theme park
Disneyland. Experience. You couldn't tell.
Okay. But you've worked at other theme parks.
That's like, true. That'll hold off the record.
You know what? When I originated the question, I was only thinking, no, I do want it for Disneyland.
Okay, got it.
The worst customer experience that you had while working at Disneyland.
Is, oh my God, I'll look him up. He's a celebrity.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, and I fucking really dislike this guy.
Is his name Ralph Garman?
It is not Ralph Garman.
Tell me what he's from.
Fuck. Well, he's friends with J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
Star Wars Force. He was in Heroes.
Okay.
Heroes, the TV show.
Yeah, I remember that.
The FBI agent.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
I'm looking him up right now.
I want to see his face too.
Greg Grunberg. Yeah, there we go. I found him.
You got a picture of him right there?
Yeah.
All right, let me see.
Greg Grunberg, he was the FBI dude in Heroes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
He's a good friend of J.J. Abrams.
Okay.
And he's in J.J. Abrams movies a lot.
Okay.
So, anyways, so I seen this guy. I met him twice at Disneyland. Both times, complete douche.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, he's obviously not famous enough to be bothered.
He's not famous enough.
Like, he could freely walk the park.
Absolutely. He's not famous enough to be making the demands that he was making at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And again, this judgment on this person is by my personal experience.
Yeah, it's not hearsay.
Off three instances.
Really?
I met this guy three different times in my life, completely random. Twice at Disneyland, where he just made demands because he thought like he was, you know,
an A-lister. Like what's the thing?
He cleared out a complete ride vehicle, a row of a ride vehicle, because he didn't want anyone sitting next to him because he didn't want to be bothered.
All right.
And I was like, okay, number one, fuck you.
Yeah.
Because I got a fucking line full of people that want to get on this ride, and we're gonna make them wait a little bit extra longer because you don't want to be bothered.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, you're just making yourself known. You're like, I don't want people to like bother me. Well, you're the one who's acting like a fucking celebrity, bro. Just get on the ride. None of us know who you are.
Yeah, no one cares.
All right,
yeah.
What's instance number two?
I forget instance number two, okay. But it also rubbed me the wrong way. That one really like, wow, like, fuck you, man. Same attraction, same guy. So here's the kicker. Here's what I thought. I was like, okay, you know, maybe this guy, he just was, I don't know, on a celebrity kick, and you know, maybe he's just like that because he was at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I was bartending in Hollywood, and a random bar mitzvah, and fucking who walks through the door? Greg Grunberg.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this fucking guy.
And you already had the two other experiences?
Yeah. Okay, previously already. So I was already like, man, fuck this dude, man. But you know what? You know what? It was at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Maybe there's extenuating circumstances. Maybe he's just cool in a normal setting.
Yeah.
He's amongst his people. He doesn't need to be a celebrity because he's amongst his people at this Hollywood party.
Yeah.
Still an asshole.
Yep.
On brand.
Walks like a duck, talks like a duck.
And so I'm bartending, and he refuses to talk to me. And I talk to everybody. But as a bartender, you fucking talk to everyone. I don't give a fuck who you are. Tom Hanks, Greg Grunberg, or the kid that we're throwing the bar mitzvah for. I don't give a fucking care. What's up? How's your night? Refused to acknowledge me. Refused to make eye contact with me. Refused to speak to me. And then, of course, the number one cardinal sin for a bartender.
Didn't tip. Yep.
That's right.
You're Greg Grunberg. He's your Bobby Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't like Bobby Lee.
No, Bobby Lee doesn't like me, and that makes me not like him.
So, but that in that equation, Bobby Lee has to know that he does not like you.
Oh, he knows.
Greg, okay. Yeah.
Oh, Greg doesn't know that.
Greg has no idea that I exist.
Yeah.
He has no idea that I'm passing hard judgment on him, and clearly he doesn't fucking care, so good for him.
You know what's crazy about the Bobby Lee thing? He was hanging out at the public bar at the Comedy Store. You know they got their back bar.
Yeah, Bobby Lee.
Okay. And he doesn't drink, he's sober.
Yep.
And good he was for him. Let me tell you the story.
Okay.
So he's like, I'll be brief about the story because we've said it before, but he's all fucking highfalutin. And I just went over to go be like, dude, I'm a huge fan. And like, I loved you since Mad TV. And he goes, oh my God, you're drunk. Like in front of it, like to make me the butt of the joke to his friends. And I was like, oh my God, you're an asshole. Like I said it his exact tone right back at him. And they kind of like chuckled. I was like, what a fucking dick, dude. I came over here to fucking compliment you, you piece of shit. And so I just walked away. And he kind of was like left there with his mouth open. Guess where Bobby Lee is right now?
Somewhere.
In rehab.
Oh, good for him.
That's good for him. But hey, look, dude, when you treat people like shit and you go through the same stuff, maybe you should be a little empathetic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe you should be a little more self-aware.
Yeah, the best thing for us to do to really understand this perspective.
What's that?
We need to just be famous.
Oh, I thought you were going to say take shots.
No. Let's get famous.
Let's
get famous, and then we can really determine how difficult it is.
You know, and if you want to see us get famous, drop a dollar in the fucking Venmo.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Or send over a photographer.
Yeah.
Send over a photographer while we're on stage. Let her fall off.
Yeah.
And then let us respond, and we'll see if we are pieces of
shit. I can fall off a stage.
But
she's famous. We talked about her.
That's true.
If I just fall off a stage. No, what I was thinking, though, was what if we do, like, remember that Budweiser commercial where the guys, like, did a photo shoot and then they posted posters all over themselves in the town before they went out, like, a couple days before?
No.
And then they go out and everybody's like, oh, my God, it's so scary. And they hired photographers to, like, take pictures of them and act like paparazzi.
That's funny.
We should totally do that, dude.
That's not a bad idea.
Right?
That could be funsies.
Yep.
I'm totally down with that.
Tell me.
So the ultimate point, what I was trying to get at, is that we should not probably have a Disney community.
Oh, you think no?
You know, I just don't trust the clientele.
Yeah.
Again, Disney park goers are some of the worst human beings on the face of the earth.
And these ones are going to be wealthy, bougie snap.
Exactly. So now, not only are they enabled in this theme park setting.
They're actually comfy at home.
Now they're going to be comfy at home. And super enabled, and I can just imagine the fucking Greg Grunberg-nisk of
I bet you people. He's already put a deposit.
I'm sure he's going to fucking move in.
My only celebrity experience at Disneyland.
I should get a job.
Yeah. I ran into Barry Bonds, and it was the year he got us kicked out of the playoffs. So he beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. And I was like, yo, Barry. And he looks, I was like, Vinny was there. Vinny was less than one or maybe one. So I must have been maybe 22 years old.
Nice.
And I go, yo, Barry. And he looks, I go, fuck you.
Just for good measure.
But he was walking the park like a regular human. He didn't have the front of the line. He didn't have, you know, I know sometimes have like the cast with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, employees, yeah, and they kind of jet them through here and jet them through there and take them back doors. No, he just was in line. And you know what? That's on him. Because you shouldn't kick the Dodgers out of the playoffs and then go to Disneyland and not expect a Dodger fan to be like, fuck you.
Well, he probably expected that a Dodger fan couldn't afford to get into Disneyland. Because that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
That's not fair.
That's totally fair assessment.
That's not. Did you see all the celebrities at the World Series last year? Me either.
They're celebrities. They can't afford Dodger to be fans. There.
Did you see? What did you think about the celebrities? Dude, the Rams are the epitome of LA fans. They're like so fair weather. Like all of a sudden there's, first of all, every fucking Latina on Instagram was wearing a Raiders jersey 2 months ago. And now all of a sudden they got Rams jerseys.
You know you're not wrong.
I know I'm not.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't know. It was like all these celebrities were at, did you see Kanye at the Rams game?
I saw like a clip where he was like vibing out to Dr. Dre's.
With his mask on or off?
Off.
Okay, so he had a full face mask. Like a beanie over his head.
Oh, yeah, he wears that.
Yeah, someone said, imagine watching, paying $50,000 for a ticket and watching the game like this, and it's all just black dots, black dots, black dots.
That's Kanye.
Did you see his white people face?
Describe it to me.
He had, it was like a rubber white man mask.
Oh,
but
no.
But he was wearing it at lunch, and he went to meet, was it Avenetti or Cavanetti, the disgraced lawyer was going after Trump?
Oh, yeah.
He was having lunch with him in Manhattan, and he's wearing this white rubber face mask. It's pretty creepy. He looked like Dark Man.
Oh, Kanye. Remember Dark Man? So on the topic of Kanye, you know, everyone's giving him shit right now for going after Pete Davidson and clearly going through being
obvious breakdown.
Yeah. Going through a breakdown, being the ex, going after the new guy. The rebound. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the new guy, just the rebound.
It's definitely the new guy.
In some capacity.
The rebound is the new guy.
Yeah.
It's not maybe the guy.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Okay, that's my point. Yeah. So Kanye's going through some shit. And everyone's making fun of Kanye. And there's also some people on the sidelines saying, hey, man, Kanye's going through some shit. Leave him alone.
Yeah, here's the thing. He would be left alone if he stopped putting everything on the fucking internet.
That's also true.
You know what I mean? Like, no one's, or I mean, I can't say this. I'm sure he's getting a ton of direct messages. I bet you he's getting a ton of love through direct messages, too. But you're the one making it public, Dick. You're the one going on fucking, I never in my life heard about Kanye being on Instagram Live till the day he was like trying to go to the kid's birthday party or some shit, which is kind of whack. But I also don't know how much, like, wasn't he just living in Atlanta like a couple weeks before, 2 weeks in the stadium before releasing Donda?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's like you didn't give a fuck about your kids that day.
Yeah.
Or I mean, maybe you did. Maybe you're on. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what kind of parent he is.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden you want to be present.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, there's tons of photos and video, and we can never understand that because we don't live that life. Like, I know he was saying one time, Kim couldn't pick out clothes in Paris, so he flew from LA to Paris in a private jet to dress her, and then flew back. So, like, I'm assuming their kids were nowhere to be found during that time. You know what I mean? I don't know.
But, I don't know what the dynamic is.
But yeah, I think he's making himself the target, and I think he's being very, like, if he's in a critical emotional place right now. The dumbest thing to do would be to go after a comic. Because comics have ways to, like, really fuck up your ego.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when Pete unloads, you know, like, it's gonna be good. Did you see any of Pete's specials? He has one on Netflix right now?
No, I should probably watch it, though.
Oh, dude, it's great. It'll be funny. He talks about how, who's the guy who died in the terrible masturbation accident? Louis C.K.
I'll say Bill Carradine.
Oh, that's a real, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot about that, too.
Oh, you're serious. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Louis C.K. He tried to get Pete David from SNL. So, like, Pete walked into the writer's room, obviously high as hell, and saw Louis, and Louis stopped and was like, how fucking high are you? And then Pete just laughed and walked out. So he told Lauren, like, hey, dude, what the fuck's up with this guy, blah, blah, blah. So Lauren called Pete in, and he's like, hey, dude, I know you're high as fuck, but, like, try not to be as obvious in front of the guests. And he's like, all right, man. But Lauren loves Pete. So then Pete, like, had this fucking thing, and he actually shows, like, when Louis C.K. was like doing the thanks for watching Inside, you know, at the end of the show, he just like walks off stage because he didn't want to be near him. And he goes, and then one day I wake up and Louis C.K.'s in the news and I'm like, yes. It's like, dude, and that's something Louis did behind closed doors.
Right.
And he made it the intro to his special that's on Netflix forever, where Louis's deplatformed, you know?
Right, right.
So I can't wait to see his Louis, his
Kanye material.
Exactly.
Oh.
It's going to be fire.
Oh, man. But that's fair game, though. So I think between, like you said, Kanye going after a comedian, a very witty comedian. And
beloved. Other comics love him.
Sure.
It's not like he went after Carlos Mencia.
Sure, but I mean, if you're asking for trouble, don't bring
a knife
to a gunfight when it comes to a battle of wits.
Yeah.
Just because you're a musical genius doesn't mean that you're not going to be made fun of.
So if you have a way with words also, but yours is music, no one's going to want to hear that. They're not going to want to hear an album about Pete Davidson.
Sure.
But if you're a comic, they're going to want to hear you shit on your fucking old lady's ex. You know what I mean? Like,
that makes sense.
The mediums are different.
Yeah.
So you can write a diss track about Pete Davidson. No one's going to care.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And even then, it's one track.
Yeah.
If you write a whole album, you clearly got a problem.
Right.
You know, you're like Beyonce or something. But what I meant by beloved is not only is he, you know, attacking Pete and going to be the subject of Pete's jokes, but because all comics love him, they're now making Kanye the butt of their jokes.
Yeah.
So he's getting it from all angles now.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I think makes it fair again because he's doing it publicly.
Yeah.
That's what gives the green light.
And I will say, because Pete has yet to react, Kanye's definitely the funnier one. When he posted a picture, he was like, look at this dickhead.
He's grabbing at straws. Yeah. Trying to make an impact.
I think I watched this while we're on hiatus. We never talked about Kanye on Drink Champs, did we?
Kanye was on Drink Champs?
Yeah.
What's Drink Champs?
Drink Champs is a podcast that Nori, remember Nori?
Nope.
Noriega, he did a...
Oh, Noriega. Okay, yeah, sure.
What was that song he did? Super Thug. Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to remember, but I couldn't...
I'm trying to think,
but nothing happens.
Got it.
And so he has a podcast with a DJ, and they drink the whole time.
Sure.
And people get loosey. Oh, they actually play this really cool game. We should play it one day.
Fun.
They give you an option, like who's better, Eminem or Jay-Z. And if you can't pick one or you pick both, you have to take a shot.
Nice.
So if you say neither or both, you got to take a shot. My bad. Nice. But anyways, that podcast was like 5 hours long. They did it in two parts. But I saw the genius in Kanye because what was happening was kind of like what... So he was giving us the answers without showing us his math. Mm. So like when you see him in an interview and he says something off the wall, you're just like, what the fuck is he talking about? It sounds crazy.
Right.
But because it was so long form, he got to take you to how he got to that conclusion. And you're just like, oh my God, you really are thinking about shit differently. Like he really just...
was a choice. Son of a bitch.
And it was a choice. It was the white man's choice. But that podcast was great. And I got to see a lot of that. And it was... at the start of their breakup, and he was still calling her his wife and this and that, but obviously he's fucking fell off his rockers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's kind of going through it.
Yeah, it's tough, dude. I don't think there was anybody who doubted his love. Like, he obviously worshipped her the whole time together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at least publicly.
Yeah.
So, and, you know.
Yep.
So, anyways, that's Kanye. Did we do new? You know what? Last you only did. You did one, huh?
I think I did. I did my grocery store one. I did the sticker on the car one. I did that last week. That's all I had. I didn't have any observations this week.
Can I tell you a joke?
Oh, sure.
All right. What happened when a Nazi, a pedo, a Scientologist, and a Satanist walk into a bar?
I don't know.
They invent NASA.
Fucked up. But that's funny.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, that's why it's funny. Yeah, that's all I got. All
right.
You have anything else?
No, yeah, wait. I'm sure I do. I'm just trying to... I'm reading my notes. And we did the Leno. You know when algorithms work against you?
when algorithms work against you? I know when they do? No.
It's when you're just joking. Like when you're joking, and then, but the algorithm thinks that's something you actually enjoy or that you like. Like, so I was like searching a bunch of shit to fuck with my brother. My brother and I were going back and forth about these jokes.
Yeah.
And now these fucking stupid things are all in my feed all the time. I'm not interested in that. It was a prank. We're playing around.
Oh.
And the algorithm doesn't pick up on just nuance like sarcasm.
Oh, okay.
Sense of humor.
Just Barbie dolls all over your thread now.
No, those I want.
Okay, cool. That one's legit.
Want to hear a quick story?
Yep.
I'm just trying to burn minutes, dude. The other day I was on FaceTime with my best friend in Oklahoma, Andrew.
Yep.
And we're doing FaceTime on Facebook. And there's a, do you remember Goat Boy from Saturday Night Live? Jim Brewer?
No.
Okay, so.
I remember Jim Brewer.
Okay, Jim Brewer played this character where he was half goat, half man. And he had a talk show. And he would be like, my next guest is Danny Glover. Because he was half goat.
Okay.
You should look it up. It's hilarious. He had ears and everything. But anyways, that Facebook has a sheep.
Filter?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So he's like telling his serious story. I press it and I go, my next guest is Danny Glover. And he fucking started laughing. I got to send you the screenshot, dude. I screenshot it. He's crying. His mouth is open. I don't even know what the fuck we were talking about after that. We laughed like that we laughed like little girls for 20 minutes, dude.
I miss being able to laugh like that.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. You got to have one of those in the Rolodex, dude.
Yeah. Just to, when you're losing your breath and your eyes are watering, you just can't breathe anymore. Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't realize that I was not listening to him at all.
I was setting this up.
Well, I didn't know what fucking, I don't ever FaceTime with people. That's fucking weird, dude. I got to, you know what, if we're at that part of the show.
Oh, I'm with it.
All right. You know what, dude?
What?
If she's never balled out with $2 at a Hostess outlet store, she's too young for you, dog.
She's never balled out.
Yeah.
With $2.
Yep.
At a Hostess store, like the cupcakes.
Yeah, you remember? So in like the 90s, especially like kind of where there was one on Francisquito.
Sure.
And there was a Hostess outlet, and they would take all the shit that was like expired yesterday there. And you could get like a pack of donuts for a dime or a quarter.
I'd never heard of this magical
place. Oh my God, dude, you're only 1 year younger than me. You're too young for
me. I lived in the rich part of the neighborhood.
You did. You lived on the other side of the 10.
We had the fresh,
yeah.
We had you the fresh ding dongs.
Yeah, you guys were north of the 10. We were fucking, you know, closer to the 60.
Yeah, you got the expired one day. The ding dongs that were in my store, they moved them from my store to your store.
Yeah, when you guys didn't buy them because you thought they were not good.
Exactly. But if I would have known that I could have gotten 2-3 boxes or pallets
there was
for
your
a quarter.
There was your future best friend down the street waiting for you to not buy it, dude.
Fuck.
Dude, we would go with $2. Me and 3 of my cousins. And all of us would have 2-3 items before we left.
That's awesome.
And we paid for them. I know what you're thinking. We bought them.
Okay. That sounds awesome.
It was rad, dude. But those stores don't exist anymore. There actually was one in Ontario on Mountain, I think. I wish, you know, now that I think about it, I think we picked where we lived based on these stores. Because my whole youth, there was one in walking distance, and I know there weren't that many.
I mean, that's good criteria to pick a home.
For a Hostess?
Yeah, where's the nearest Hostess?
They go, actually, just a couple blocks. We'll take it.
We'll take it. We move in at the end of the week.
I think New Jersey is New York's Inland Empire. Oh, I have a listener, a friend, who suggested some drops because... This shit, we yell at each other all the time. My homeboy, no matter what's happening, he goes, serves him right. So what the fuck we're talking about? Goes, serves him right.
So wait for that lady to fall off the stage. Serves him right. It's fucked up.
And then I always yell, light him up. Yeah, what? So, fuck. Did we talk about light him up?
No.
All right. That fucking, made me laugh. All right. The light him up. So there's this comic, Big J Okerson, and he has a show of... Bonfire, and it's on Sirius XM.
Cool.
It's great. They're two great comics, Dan Soder, Big J Okerson. But they started this bit where, like, so Dan Soder's mom in real life was, like, a big into, like, haunted and ghosts and shit like that.
Good for her. Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, jokingly talking about if she had become a Ghostbuster. And then their producer, like, loaded up a proton gun while they're joking. You just hear,
yeah.
And then Big J goes, light them up. And they're like doing all these scenarios where this mom would be like a ghost hunter. And they're like, Robin Williams at your six, duck down, man, light him up. And you just hear, you know? And so I start yelling, light him up all the time. And then the homie who said, serves him right, goes, dude, you need that drop on your show so you can be fucking lighting him up. So like, if we were to talk about dead people, you drop the proton gun, like, we're talking about Sublime. Hey, Bradley Knoll, blah, 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 blah. And like, I go down to tie my shoes and you're like, right behind you, light him up.
Before you're talking about like, oh man, we're talking about Kanye's career. And it's like, oh shit.
light him up. Serves him right. And then you don't say that. Oh man.
That's good stuff.
That is good stuff. Motions notepad. The thing is, I got so much has happened in my life, bro. Like,
I know one day you were going to organize it.
No.
And be ready.
But
I don't think that's just not your style. All right, cool. As always, I want to thank you all for joining us here in Poundtown.
Poundtown.
But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance and make us famous to find out if we're assholes.
Yeah, dude.
Genuinely, or yeah. Just off the clock.
We could be the next Desus and Mero.
Sure. And lastly, don't forget there's a power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name's Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion, and we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
And with the yay. No, a yay.
Oh, the what?
What is that? The yay, the kids. What was the other one?
Oh, that was a fail.
Oh.